Well, it's good to see all of you back from this morning, and we greatly appreciate you all being here. It's always good to join together to worship our God, and we are so thankful that you are here this afternoon. Dan is out, I think, at a gospel meeting in Gilmer, Texas, and I know that he'll be blessing those he's speaking with this evening, and we pray for him and Miss Audrey as they travel to and from there this week, and I know y'all would join with us. When Dan asked if I would fill in for him while he was gone this evening, I began to try to think about what I could speak about tonight. If you don't do this often, it's kind of hard to come up with something that most of you have never heard before, or, you know, it's just kind of difficult at times. But as I was thumbing through my old notes, old lessons that I prepared, and thumbing through the Bible, as I was looking there's so many things and topics that we can talk about. The book of God is very powerful and has so many things in there. So I began to think about what my favorite things about God is, and I want to share that with you all tonight. You know, throughout our life, we develop things that we enjoy in life that become our favorite things. And throughout my 43 years here on earth, having conversations with people and talking in different groups and listening to people, we often share those things that we enjoy on this side of heaven with one another. But very often do we share the things that we love about God. Those of you that know me very closely here in the audience tonight perhaps may know some of my favorite things on earth, and some of you may know some of them. And so as we start our time together tonight, I would like to share just a few of those earthly things that I like, that I enjoy. One of the favorite things I enjoy is food. I know y'all can't tell by the figure that I have. I enjoy delicious food, sit down and eating. That's one of my happy things that I like to do. Some of those foods that I like is barbecue. I love to eat barbecue, whether it's brisket, ribs, sausage, chicken. Carrie gets aggravated at me every time we travel. We stop at different barbecue joints to eat, but I enjoy that. Another great food that I enjoy, one of my favorites, is my mama's fried chicken. I have not eaten better fried chicken than that. I love oxtails and gravy and rice. I love banana pudding, and Coco always cooks it for me, and I appreciate that very much. And I love fried fish, especially when it's cooked right and it's fresh and never been frozen. Some of my favorite foods that I enjoy. I also enjoy, in my spare time, hunting and fishing. One of my favorite times to fish is early in the morning, when you're out on the lake and the steam's rising from the water, and you're out in the lake all by yourself. It's one of the most peaceful things that I enjoy. And the same goes with hunting. Being in the woods, God's country, looking at the wild game, hearing the birds chirp, the squirrels run around, leaves falling from trees. Just a peaceful time for me, and I enjoy that so much. Another favorite pastime I enjoy is spending time with family and friends. And this past weekend, I had the opportunity to spend time with my family in San Antonio. And I often catch myself just sitting in the back room, not really paying attention to what people are talking about, but watching them interact with one another. The smiles, the laughs, people being together. I enjoy that so much. I love the smell of a campfire in early fall. You know, after a long, hot summer, when it cools down for the first time and you step outside and you smell that smoke coming from somewhere, I love that smell. I also love the smell of my mama's fried chicken. And the smell of breakfast cooking. If you've ever gone camping somewhere and you step out of the camper or tent that morning and you smell the campground filling with bacon and breakfast cooking all over, I just love that so much. And y'all don't hold this smell against me, but I love the smell of a cigarette being lit by a Zippo lighter. You know, I'm weird like that. I also like the smell of gas. Now, I don't smoke, okay, but if someone lights that up, I love that smell. And then lastly, I'm not going to go into everything that is my favorite, but I love to watch sunrises and sunsets. I love to see the start of a new day, and I love to see the sun go down as well, too. And those are some of my favorite things on this side of heaven. But about all those things that I enjoy, that I call my favorite, I realize that God is much better. For we're reminded with all the things that we enjoy in this life that they were created for our enjoyment because all things were meant to point to God, to cause us to think and ponder about the greater greatness that God gives us in this life. In Colossians 1:16, it says, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him." Again, my favorite things on earth are good, but God is much better. And so with all of these favorite things in my life, I'm also reminded by this, that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father in the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. I realize that all of us enjoy many things that God has provided for us in this life, and our favorite things tend to change over the years. You know, perhaps something may have been your favorite thing as a child, it's not so much your favorite thing now. But once we become a Christian, and I know this happened for me, once I become a Christian, I immediately begin to find my favorite things about God. And many years ago when that happened, and still today, these things are still my favorites because he does not change. And so let me share with you all this evening just a couple of my favorite things about God. The first one will be God's love for us. We're all humans. And we all enjoy the love and friendship that we have with one another. In fact, we tend to live our lives in a certain way to be loved or to love something. We're all searching for that great feeling that comes with love. The love of a friend, a love of a sibling, the love of a spouse, a parent, or even a grandparent. And being loved and loving those people feels so good. And we're all on earth trying and need to have that love. And I do see a lot of love in this world and in our community and in this church, and it is so great. And it is one of my favorite things on this side of heaven too, is the love that we have in this congregation here is very loving. But God's love is better. There's a sign that Dwight put out there. It says, "Nothing can compare to God's love." And that is so true. God's love for us is powerful. It's unconditional. It's an eternal love. It's a love that's not dependent on our actions or our worthiness. It's a love that is described as perfect, sacrificial, unconditional, and everlasting, and sufficient. This love is evident in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, where God gave his only Son for our salvation. John 3:16 in the Bible, it states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, God's love isn't a simple feeling that he has. It's a powerful force that protects us and comforts us, and he wants the best for us, and he seeks to help us to overcome our struggles in this life that we have above sin, and he cares for us. God is love. God is love. That's a statement that appears in the Bible in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, and then again in verse 16. In verse 8 it says, "Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." In verse 16, "God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them." And so I hope that everyone that is gathered here tonight and the people in the world feel loved by the people we interact with. But one of my favorite things, and I hope it's your favorite thing, because God has made it this way to love you more and to love you better. And I'm thankful for God's love. My next favorite thing about God is his forgiveness. God's forgiveness refers to his grace and his mercy, and again, in his love, in pardoning us for our transgressions and our sins and our offenses against him. For we know that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and we're reminded of that in our life, but most importantly, once we become a Christian, we know that we are sinners. In 1 John chapter 1, and verses 8 through 10, it says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us at all. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. According to the Bible, Christ forgives all sins, the past, the present, and the future, from the death of Christ. God has said he is ready and willing to forgive anyone who seeks forgiveness without holding grudges or requiring time to pass. Forgiveness is a personal process that involves letting go of negative emotions and bitterness towards someone who has wronged you. It's not about forgetting what happened or condoning what the wrong was, but rather choosing to move forward without holding any resentment toward that person. And I know that's a difficult thing that we all face in this life, because we've all been wronged, we've all been hurt, and perhaps we've hurt people. We're not perfect people, but we do that. And forgiving someone is difficult because of the different situations that happen to us. But I've realized over my years of being a Christian that I do find it a little easier to forgive people. And even when I have wronged people, and I have, I'm guilty of it, it hurts when they won't forgive you. But my favorite thing about God, about his forgiveness, is he's willing to do that. And we're not always willing to do that, but we learn as we learn from him. In Luke chapter 6, and verse 37, we're reminded, it says, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. I'm thankful that God is willing to forgive us, and that makes me a lot easier to forgive those who've wronged me. We need to be reminded that forgiveness is not for us, but it's for them. I mean, it's not for them, it's for us. But God's forgiveness is a whole lot better. My third favorite thing about God is his protection. I'm pretty sure all of us have locks on our doors at homes and our cars, and we use them. I could remember a time when I was a child that we didn't use those locks. But now it seems like everyone has multiple locks on their doors and their cars. We have security alarms and cameras, which protects our homes and our valuables and the people that we love dearly that live inside those. We also have passwords on our electronic devices, our cell phones and our computers, to protect us from fraud going on with our phones and things. We even have fraud protection on our credit cards. You know, if there's a charge made, they'll call you. You know, I'm thankful for those things that happened to us not too long ago. We take out life and accidental insurance policies to protect us for unexpected costs that may arise. And then we also have weapons that we carry to protect us if we are harmed in some way or threatened in some way. These protections are good. I'm not bad-mouthing them. We need protection for different things here, and we have the right to do that, and I'm thankful we live in a country where we can. But although all these protections are good on this side of heaven, I feel and believe that God's protection is much better. God's protection is the idea that God is with his people, offering guidance, strength, and shelter in every situation, even when trials are present in your life. We've all been faced with a trial or something going on in our lives where we feel we're all alone and that we're open to all the enemies that we have. But that's just a trap that the devil wants us to perceive when we know that God is with us always and protecting us. Psalms 121, verses 5 through 8 says, the Lord watches over you. He's watching over us. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen. The Bible also informs us about the protection of God. And as humans, we want to see God's protection sometimes in a magic force that keeps us from all harm. If you've ever been in a situation, it's like the human nature of us that we want to see immediately things that happen, that God protects us. But through His Word, we have the armor of God that protects us in so many ways. And I'm thankful for that. But God, many times, works in ways that we don't understand. Sometimes God's protection comes in a form of peace and strength in the middle of a despair that we're going through. And other times, God's protection comes as an ending because He sees something more and more better for us on the horizon that we cannot see. As a believer in Jesus, we are promised a new life covered under the protection of God, in which nothing can separate us from His love. That's why that's one of my favorite things about God, is His protection. I can rest knowing, and we can all rest knowing, that no matter what hardships we face in this life, God is our provider and our protector. Isaiah 54 and verse 17 reminds us, says, "No weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed, and you shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord." Let me give you one bonus favorite that I have of God, and there's lots of them, and I know you do as well. Well, my favorite thing about God as well is His promises and His truth. You know, we live in a world today where it seems like it's falling and breaking every day. I don't know about you all, but if someone's ever promised you something and reneged on that promise, it doesn't feel very well. But we realize that we're all humans and we all fail from time to time, and promises will be broken with mankind. I've always tried to keep my promises, but I've failed some of them. Many of us has as well. Our life is based on a truth and should always be the truth. But again, in the world we live into, it's hard sometimes to see what a lie and what a truth is. People try to twist it around on you and tell you a lie and want you to believe that it's a truth. But as a Christian, I can always refer to God's Word. Every time I open this up, I know that God's promises are true and real, and I can always rely on God no matter what. I love to be around people. I love to put my trust in people. But I know that we're all humans and we fail from time to time, but I can always trust and lay my head down at night knowing that I can trust in God and that His Word is the truth and never changes. And that's my favorite thing about God as well. Now, I can go on and on about my favorite things about God. I can go on and on about my favorite things on this side of heaven. But over the years, some of those favorite things, as I mentioned earlier, that were my favorites at time has changed in this world. However, the favorite things about God has never changed. When I first become a Christian, these were my favorite things and still are today. And each day, I find new things that I love about God because He shows that to me. And He shows it to us all. I've shared this with our Sunday school class many times. I have made the statement that Christians should always wear a smile on their face wherever they go and whatever situation they're in. Why? Because we carry the best news ever, and that is Jesus Christ. We have the best news ever, and we're reminded in Isaiah 52:7 how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. You may be thinking, why are you telling us your favorite things about God or about what you like? Well, when preparing for this message here, I begin to think about how often we evangelize to those around us. How often do we share our favorite things about God or our faith to others? You know, we feel sometimes that we have to know a lot about God's Word, or we got to feel comfortable speaking from a pulpit or in a bunch of around a bunch of people. And y'all know that I don't. I'm very nervous when I speak in front of people. But I also know that we have a great commission. And God wants us to go out and preach the good news to all. We're not afraid to share what our favorite food is, or our favorite football team is, or our favorite time of the year, or we like to go on vacation. We share that often with strangers that we don't know, and we share that with those who are closest to us. But let me ask you all tonight, when was the last time you told a stranger about what a favorite thing about God was? What about your neighbor across the street? What about a friend or a coworker? What about your best friend? Or even closer, what about those that live with you at home, your children, your parents, or your grandparents? Do they know what your favorite thing about God is? Do you know what their favorite thing about God is? You'll be surprised by sharing those things together, just how God will be glorified by that. So I challenge you all this week as we leave here today, is to think about your favorite things about God. And y'all do. Y'all have many of them. It's a very easy way to share that with someone, what your favorite thing about God is. And you never know, it might stir up a conversation and lead someone to Christ that hasn't accepted Him. That's my lesson tonight. And if there's anyone here tonight that may have a lot of favorite things they'd like to do on this side of heaven, but haven't obeyed the gospel and would like to form a relationship with God, and to get to know Him and change some of those things, and to really see the beauty of the things that we have here on earth, and to give thanks to God for that, and have God move in your life so you can develop some favorite things about Him, we invite you to come forward. And we always do this at the end of a sermon to invite anyone to accept Jesus as their Savior and be baptized for the remission of their sins. I strongly encourage you, and we hope that you will do that if there's anyone here tonight that has that need. We also extend an invitation to any of those brothers and sisters in Christ who maybe have forgotten some of those favorite things about God. Maybe other things in our life has gotten in the way of what we need to be doing, is seeking those things above. And it happens so easily in the life that we live in. And we'd like us as a loving church to pray with you and for you to restore that love and relationship with God, so you can start enjoying once again those favorite things that God has blessed us with. We invite you to do that tonight as we stand and as we sing.